मोकम करोति वाचालम् अंगम यत्कृपातं वन्दे श्रीगुरो दीनतारिणं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरम्। I would like to start the session by paying repeated obeisances to Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada, my Diksha Guru, His Holiness Radha Govinda Das Goswami Maharaj, my Shiksha Gurus, and also I would like to pay repeated obeisances to all the Vaishnavas who have assembled. In fact, a few of my students back there in US, they report to me quite often that it's very difficult to practice bhakti here, Prabhuji. The lots of allurement, and it becomes very difficult to practice. And I see so many devotees there taking care of such wonderful deities. I was really enamored by seeing such wonderful deities of Sri Sri Radha Natabara. I think they are the only deities who are in that wonderful dancing position where Radharani has that hand in front and the Krishna is standing on one leg. That's really beautiful deities. So this shows that Prabhupada has empowered all the devotees there to practice Krishna consciousness and to take care of such wonderful temple. In fact, I feel very fortunate that I'm getting this opportunity to assist all of y'all in your spiritual life today. So today's topic is very nice for myself, to enhance my faith in Krishna. So today's topic is enhancing our faith in Krishna. And this particular topic becomes very relevant when we discuss Amrish Maharaj's pastime. Because in Amrish Maharaj's pastime, we see that how much faith this personality has. I'm sure all of you might have heard this wonderful pastime. But let's hear it again and let's speak again for our purification and for the glorification of Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and His pure devotees like Amrish Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada. To start with, the description of Amrish Maharaj goes like this in 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th chapter. Shukadeva Goswami is very, very beautifully describing. Shukadeva Goswami is describing the different wonderful qualities of Amrish Maharaj. Recently, I was sharing a Srimad Bhagavatam class. So there, the topic was about retiring and becoming a Vanaprastha or entering Vanaprastha ashram. So there we were discussing that there are two types of retirement. One retirement is at the age of 50, the person gives up the family and goes to forest. And the other type of retirement is retiring from the material desires and switching to spiritual desires. And that can be done anytime. That can be done even when we're staying at home. And Amrish Maharaj is the best example. Shukadeva Goswami, he starts glorifying Amrish Maharaj. He starts describing Amrish Maharaj. And who is listening? Raja Rishi Parikshit, he is listening. And about whom? Another Raja Rishi, Amrish. And here, when it comes to Amrish Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami says that he was the king of Sapta Dvipa, entire planet, the seven islands. And he was the only king who was dominating, who was ruling the entire world. And all of the kings all over the world were abiding by the instructions given by Amrish Maharaj. And Amrish Maharaj's prime duty was to do devotional service. We see different shlokas in this particular chapter, the fourth chapter of ninth canto, where we see that Amrish Maharaj was completely dipped and absorbed all the time in Krishna consciousness. And Shukadeva Goswami is describing that since he was always dipped in Krishna consciousness, always absorbed in Krishna consciousness, everything that he had, all the wealth, all the people, the elephants and the chariots and various palaces that he had, everything was tuchavat, very insignificant. In fact, he considered that to be like a dream. So we don't give much importance when it comes to a dream, right? Similarly, Amrish Maharaj was not giving much importance to all these things, considering like a dream, swapna. And what was Amrish Maharaj doing? How was he absorbed in consciousness? There are a few set of shlokas, very, very wonderful. In fact, these were the set of shlokas given to me for today, today's talk. But then these shlokas, to do proper justice to these shlokas, it will at least need a few hours. The slokas are like this. The first one goes like Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayo Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnane Karo Hare Mandira Marjanadishu Shrutim Chakara Chutasato Daye. So here we see that Shukadeva Goswami is describing how Amrish Maharaj is completely dipped in Krishna consciousness. He says, Savai Mana Krishna Padaravindayor. So the entire existence of Amrish Maharaj, his mind, his entire absorption was in the lotus feet of the Lord. And our Acharya's comment that when a great personality is addressed by the lotus feet, it actually is addressing the entire beautiful form of that person. So here, Amrish Maharaj was always immersed in meditating on the beautiful form of Krishna. Beautiful form of Krishna. Rupa Goswami very beautifully describes the beautiful form of Krishna in Nectar of Devotion. He chants the shloka. Smeram bhangi traya parichitam sachi vistirna drishtim vamshi nyasta dhara kishalayam ujjvalam chandrikena govindakhyam haritanumitah keshitirthopakanthe ma prekshishthastava yadi sakhe bandhu sange stirangah. So in this shloka, Rupa Goswami is telling, Ma prekshishthas tava yadi sakhe bandhu sange stirangah. He's saying, don't go there. If you go there, if you really want to enjoy your family members, if you really want to enjoy this material life, then don't go there. And if someone is asking the question, where and what you're talking about, then here Rupa Goswami is saying, Smeram bhangi traya parichitam sachi vistirna drishtim. There is one person. Where? Keshitirtha Upakante. In Vrindavan, near Keshitirtha, there is a personality who is standing in threefold bending form. Smeram bhangi trayaparam. And how is he glancing on everyone? Sachi vistirna drishtim. From the corner of his eyes, he's shooting the arrows on everyone in his darshan. And then he says, Sachi vistirna drishtim. Vamshi nyasta dhara kishalayam. So what is he holding in his hand? He's playing a beautiful Vamshi flute and he's playing this flute and capturing everyone's heart. And he's standing under a beautiful tree in a very, very beautiful evening. Vamshi nyasta dhara kishalayam ujjvalam chandrikena. So he's looking very, very beautiful in that moonlight. And so Rupa Goswami is saying, if you go and see that person, that personality, no, Hari, if you see that personality, Hari, he will capture you. You'll completely give up your existence at his lotus feet and you'll not be able to enjoy with your family members and your relatives. So mind you for going there. So this form Amrish Maharaj was meditating on. look at the beauty of the verse. Look at the meditation of Amrish Maharaj. Savai mana Krishna padara vindayor vachamsi. Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnane. He would speak only about Krishna conscious topics, glorifying Krishna and his devotees. Karo Harer Mandira Marjanadishu. Even when he was such a great personality, he was ruling the entire kingdom, entire world, Sapta Dvipa, still this person would take a very, very menial position to clear the temple, to do the pujari service, and do the other services in the temple. Karo Harer Mandira Marjinadishu Shrutim Chakara Chutasat Kathodaye. So his ears were all the time engaged in only one activity, hearing about the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, all the time. Now, and obviously, there are two more verses which talks about how he was his entire bombs, all the time, 24/7. See, when Prabhupada says in various purports that one has to be fully in Krishna conscious, nityam, satatam. So all these words are basically talking about what Amrish Maharaj was doing. He was fully Krishna conscious. So many times, people ask this question, especially the newcomers, they ask this question. Okay, if we become Krishna conscious, then who will work? Who will take care of the family? Who will take care of this body? And the answer is very, very much Amrish Maharaj's pastime. Amrish Maharaj was completely immersed in doing Krishna conscious activities, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead was doing the task of taking care of everything that is needed, you know, to take care by a king. And here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead had given Amrish Maharaj his own weapon, Sudarshan Chakra. So Sudarshan Chakra would be always there with Amrish Maharaj, always there, always ready to care of the entire kingdom, and always ready to take care of all the needs of Amrish Maharaj. And this is but obvious. Anyone who spends 24/7 in Krishna consciousness, why will not Krishna take care of the person? Amrish Maharaj, in fact, he took a leave from his kingdom, went to Vrindavan, and for one complete year, he was completely immersed in Vrindavan, meditating, doing all the services, and observing the fasting of Ekadashis. And one such Ekadashi was in Kartik. In fact, this was the last Ekadashi that he was observing. And the next day, he was about to break the fast. Maybe he might have chanted the Mahaprasade Govinda prayers also, and he was ready, ready to put the grain in the mouth. And at that time, a great personality, Durvasa, he appeared there. Now, all of us know how angry Durvasa is. Very, very angry personality. In fact, anger personified is Durvasa Muni. So Durvasa came there, and Amrish Maharaj was about to break his fast, but then he stopped, because the etiquette is, now first we have to take care of the guests who have come, and then a person can honor prasadam. In fact, the Vedic scriptures, they say that a grihastha devotee in Vedic times, the grihastha devotee, before having his meal, he should go out on the road and call out loudly, "Is there anyone who is hungry? I'm about to have my meal. Is there anyone hungry?" And anyone who comes home, that person should be fed. Again, he should go out and again call out, "Is there anyone hungry?" And again, when people come, they have to serve. And after doing all that, when the last time when the person goes out and no one comes, no one is hungry, at that time he can sit peacefully and have the meal. So this is the grihastha dharma that is mentioned in the, in one of the Vedic shastra. Obviously, now in Kali Yuga, that's not possible. But devotees come home, yes, they can be served in a very nice time. That's what Amrish Maharaj is doing. So Amrish Maharaj waited, and he welcomed Durvasa Muni with kind words. He gave seat for Durvasa Muni to sit. He worshipped Durvasa Muni with the nice auspicious paraphernalia. And after all that, Amrish Maharaj, a lot of love and affection for his guest, he invited Durvasa Muni for honoring prasadam. So Durvasa Muni, he said that, "I have to perform some of my duties by bathing in the river. So let me go and do that and come. So I'll be back immediately." And Amrish Maharaj, with a very nice gesture, very nice position, he was standing with his folded hands, and he said, "Okay." And Durvasa Muni went to take bath. Now it is described that Durvasa Muni was taking more time than usual. Maybe this surely Lord's pastime. So he was taking more time and taking a bath, maybe cleansing very nicely his body, because he was about to honor prasadam. So when this was happening, Amrish Maharaj, he was wondering, because this was the last vrata and he has to break the fast on time in the Dwadashi Murta, and there was only one Murta that was left. And he consulted all the brahmanas there and his ministers. And he said that, we have to break the fast, but then the guest has not arrived. What to do? And after consulting the brahmanas, after consulting the learned ones, he decided to take some water. And in Shastra, when it comes to taking water, it is very clearly mentioned that taking water is eating and at the same time not eating. So here he was breaking the fast, but at the same time offending the guest, the Vaishnava who has come home. So this is the call that he took. He took some water. Durvasa Muni returned. When Durvasa Muni returned, he's a mystic. He's a mystic. And as soon as he saw Amrish Maharaj, he meditated on Amrish Maharaj, and he could make out that he has drank water. And all of us know what happened. Durvasa Muni went crazy, really very, very angry. So angry that he started blaspheming Amrish Maharaj left and right. And at the same time, he wanted to kill Amrish Maharaj, murder Amrish Maharaj. And for this, obviously, he was not using any weapon for that. He just plucked out some bunch of hair from his head, from his shikha. He threw it on the ground and he created a fiery demon, Kritya. And this fiery demon, the description is given, it's very, very horrifying looking demon. And the fiery demon was just created to kill Amrish Maharaj. Look at what anger can do. Anger can take the person anywhere to any extent. In fact, many of the times we see that people don't care, even for their own loved ones, when they're angry. And there's so many cases. And here Amrish Maharaj was no one for Durvasa Muni. And Durvasa Muni just created that fiery demon, and the fiery demon is moving towards Amrish Maharaj, holding a trident in the hand. Kill. And that verse, particular verse, describes very clearly that the fiery demon was moving towards Amrish Maharaj, and every step that fiery demon was taking was shaking the entire earth. And Amrish Maharaj, he was looking at the fiery demon. He knew why the fiery demon is created. But still, Shukadeva Goswami says, Na chachala padam nripaha. Padam na chachala. He didn't take even one step behind who? Nripa, the king, Amrish Maharaj. Look at the confidence of Amrish Maharaj. Look at the confidence of Amrish. Look at the faith of Amrish Maharaj. This particular incident that I'm describing now, this actually enhances the faith of devotees on Krishna. He was standing there. He didn't move a single step. He knew very well the demon was created only to kill him. But still he had complete faith on Supreme Personality of Godhead. Folding his hands, completely in trance, meditating on the beautiful form of the Lord, chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In fact, whenever I meditate on this pastime, I just think about my situation. Where even if a dog comes, we run away from that place. And look at Amrish Maharaj. A fiery demon is coming. And this personality is not even sticking one step behind. What confidence, what faith this personality has. What faith. In fact, we see that whenever devotees have such intense faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so the Personality of Godhead also reciprocates equally. He's very clear. He's like, the way you deal with me, I'll reciprocate accordingly. He's very clear in Bhagavad Gita. And that's what is the definition of Shraddha also. See, Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 2262 says, Shraddha shabda vishwasa kori sudrudha nischay Krishna bhakti koile Krishna bhakti kahe sarva karma krita hoy. So anyone who does Krishna bhakti, that person should have this complete faith that just by doing Krishna bhakti, everything else will be taken care. And Amrish Maharaj had complete faith on this particular statement. This is called Shraddha. And to be very frank, even we all of us have Shraddha. But the problem is this Shraddha is directed towards every Tom, Dick and Harry of this world except Krishna. I always give this example whenever I talk about faith. You look at our situation. We have complete faith in people around. Like for example, for all the men, all the Prabhujis who are listening. So when you go to a saloon for a men's parlor, and you want to have a clean shave, the barber is holding a razor in the hand, and the razor is here. And the person is sitting very peacefully and thinking, oh, this barber will shave my beard and he'll not slit my throat. Are what confidence? What confidence on a person whom we don't know? Do we know Kulagotra of that person? We don't know anything about that person. But we're just closing our eyes and sitting very peacefully. And that person has a razor here. Tell me, after taking a ticket, a train ticket or a, say, plane ticket or whatever, when you're traveling from one place to another, a question to all of you all. do we go to the driver? Do we go to the pilot and knock the door and ask, see, I've taken this ticket. Will you take me to this destination only? Are you sure? Do we cross-check anytime, any of us? We just take a ticket and we sit. But my question to all of you all is, with what confidence are we sitting? We don't know the person. He can take us to any place. But we have complete faith on the person we're just sitting. We're sitting in that particular vehicle thinking, oh, I'll go to the right destination. And when someone goes to a restaurant, very nicely, we look at the menu and we say, oh, get this, get this, get this. I don't know what is famous there in Columbus. So something of your favorite maybe. And we have complete faith that the waiter will go and he'll get the things that we have ordered, the food that we have ordered. But again, a question to everyone who is listening to me today. What is the guarantee that the cook, while cooking, he has not mixed poison in that? What is the guarantee? He can mix. There are instances. He can mix. But look at our situation. We have complete faith. We have complete faith that yes, that will be a very palatable foodstuff. And by having that, the Bhagavatam says, Tushti Pushti Shuddha Payo. I'll become very nourished. My hunger will go away and so on and so forth. This is what is our current situation. Now we have faith in people around. We have faith in our family members who are but temporary. How long will they be with us? But we have complete faith that yes, you know, these family members will take care of us. But when it comes to Krishna, we take a call, we take a back step. We think twice. No, he is there, Krishna is there, and all these personalities in Bhagavatam, it is their duty to speak about Krishna, glorify him. But then see, I have to be practical. I cannot have just blind faith. And I always say that we all educated ones are not very fortunate because we don't have that normal faith or the blind faith on Krishna. No, we always analyze. Because we started our life with A plus B, the whole square. And here, when it comes to Krishna, here also we analyze that, oh, will he take care of me in this situation? What about this situation? What about that situation? So when it comes to our faith, it has conditions. It has some conditions. Conditional faith, I would say. Conditional faith. But then history is the proof. Bhagavatam is the proof that Krishna is ready to take care of his devotees to any extent. To any extent. Let me take to Mahabharata first. When it comes to Mahabharata, you see the fight between the Kauravas and Pandavas. Krishna was there as a chariot driver. Arjuna is sitting behind and he's fighting. He's fighting with the opponents. It is described that in all those 18 days, all those 17 to 18 days, Arjuna, he didn't get even a single drop of sweat gliding from his forehead. Not even a single drop of sweat. But when it comes to Krishna, he took all the arrow on himself and there was blood oozing out from the body of Krishna. And Bhishma, he very beautifully describes in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, that those drops of blood were decorating the beautiful face of Krishna and Krishna was looking even more beautiful. This only a devotee can see. This vision only a devotee can have. Now, you look in this situation, at this particular pastime. Bhishma Dev took a vow that I will kill Arjuna or I will make Krishna break his vow. This was the vow that Bhishma Dev took in front of Duryodhan. And next day, he decided that he's going to kill. He will kill Arjuna. This was the thing. And Bhishma is a great personality. He's a Maharatha. He started shooting arrows. And the arrows were really very fast. Multiple arrows at a time. And Arjuna, he's also not less. He's also very much skilled in archer. But still, when it comes to Bhishma Dev, he was not able to counteract the arrows. And Krishna was driving the chariot and Arjuna was shooting the arrows. Krishna just looked behind and he saw that Arjuna is getting into anxiety. And Arjuna is losing his energy. Immediately, as soon as Krishna saw that Arjuna is getting tired. Again, I tell you, there is no drop of sweat on the face of Arjuna. Krishna just saw that Arjuna was tired. Krishna jumped from the chariot, from the broken chariot's wheel. He took the wheel of the broken chariot. He started running towards Bhishmadev. And by the way, this is all the mass. And Bhishmadev, as soon as he saw Krishna coming with the wheel towards him, what Bhishmadev did? He gave the bow and arrow down and he with the plan started. He stood there in front of Krishna, inviting Krishna, okay, I'm ready, kill me. Look at Krishna's reciprocation with his devotee. Arjuna didn't call out for help. He didn't call out for help, but still Krishna did that. When it comes to Karna, Karna's fight with Arjuna, you see, Karna also had a special weapon, a special arrow. And there was one particular snake which also came and merged in that arrow. Arrow became very, very powerful. And Krishna knew. Krishna knew the power of that particular arrow. And then the fight began. When Karna removed that arrow from his quiver and about to shoot, at that time, Krishna took the notice of it. And when the arrow was shot from his bow, at that time, Krishna stamped on the chariot. And at that time, Arjuna kneeled down. And in fact, the horses kneeled down and Arjuna felt the jerk and the crown fell down. And look at Arjuna's reciprocation or Arjuna's dealings with Krishna. He's scolding Krishna. Then you don't know how to drive the chariot. Look at this. My crown has fell down. And Krishna said, if I wouldn't have done this, instead of crown, your head would have fell down for sure. In both the cases, Arjuna didn't call out for Krishna. But then Arjuna had complete faith in the reciprocation of Krishna. Again, in first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is starting from Hastinapur to Dwarka. He is on the chariot. When he's on the chariot, there comes Uttara crying out loudly, Pahi Pahi Mahayogin Deva Deva Jagatpate. She comes there crying that please save me, please save me, please save my womb. Please save my child in the womb. And actually the situation was, Ashwatthama had released six Brahmastras. Five pointing to or targeting the five Pandavas. And the sixth one was towards the womb of Uttara to kill the last Ansha of the Pandava dynasty of the Kunisti. That is Parikshit Maharaj. So now here in this particular situation, we see that as soon as the five Pandavas, they looked at the Brahmastra coming, you know what they did? Very unintelligent ones. They removed arrows from the quiver and they were ready to shoot, counteract with Brahmastra. And Krishna was looking at them and then he was like, because Brahmastras can be countered only by another Brahmastra. Or a person who has used Brahmastra can retract the Brahmastra. So this is what it is. But then, these innocent ones, they were just having some weapon and thinking that they will counteract the Brahmastra. And Krishna is looking at them and he's thinking, what these fools are doing. And Krishna came in anxiety. Krishna counteracted all the Brahmastras, all the five Brahmastras. And what about the sixth one? For the sixth one, Krishna personally entered the womb of Uttara. And it is described by our acharyas that Krishna took the form or the size of a thumb and he entered the womb. And there Parikshit Maharaj got the first darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now look at the situation, very beautiful. Krishna took two weapons with him when he entered the womb. He took a gada with him, a club. And second, he took his chakra. But then it is described that when he entered the womb, only with the gada he counteracted the Brahmastra. But now the question which Acharya is asking is, then why did Krishna take chakra? Why did Krishna take chakra? So here, Acharya is then answered that Krishna was worried and Krishna was in anxiety. And he was thinking, what if? Who is thinking? The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Sarva Karana Karanam. He is thinking that what if gada fails? Then I'll use chakra. He has got so much of love for Parikshit Maharaj, so much of affection for Parikshit Maharaj, his devotee, that that he was not ready to take any chance. So he took the two weapons, the chariot went. So it's very clear in all the pastimes that we take, wherever the devotee is peaceful, where the devotee is completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, when that devotee is in danger, Lord comes in anxiety. So the devotee is peaceful and the Lord is in anxiety. And here we see very clearly in Amrish Maharaj's case that Amrish Maharaj was very peaceful, standing folded hands, and then he's praying. He's chanting the holy names. And there comes the Sudarshan Chakra. Sudarshan Chakra is an anxiety, and Sudarshan Chakra comes there. See, one thing is very clear that we devotees have to understand. Lord has a job description, we have a job description. We shouldn't go and try to grab the job description of the Lord. What is the job description of the Lord? The job description of the Lord is Eko Bahunam Yo Vidadati Kaman. He is the maintainer. He's the maintainer of everyone. Everyone. This is one. That is the job description of the Lord. He's the one who's taking care of everyone. He's taking care of the ant. He's taking care of even the elephants in the South African jungle who need tons of food. He's taking care of everyone. That is his job description. And he does that very, very nicely. You know, without any flaw, he does that. And what is our job description? Jivir Swarup Hoy Krishnera Nityadas. Our job description is to serve the Supreme Personality of God. Our job description is to do devotional service. But then, you know, when the problem comes? The problem comes when we want to become the maintainer. When we want to exchange our job description with Krishna. There the problem comes. And when we are in anxiety to take care of ourselves, so Krishna is peaceful. Krishna says, okay, you know, anyways, you're in anxiety, take care of yourself. No problem. Take care of yourself. But then, when a devotee is peaceful, completely depending on Krishna, at that time, Krishna takes anxiety and he takes care of the devotee. I always say this in the sessions where I talk about faith. So we should be like a small child in the arms of a mother. Mother might be in anxiety, you know, going from one place to another in a crowded setup. But then the child is peacefully sleeping in the arms of mother without thinking twice what is going outside, what is going on around. Completely peaceful, completely satisfied. Why? He's there in the arms of his mother. In fact, this should be our situation. But unfortunately, no, as of now, as sadhakas, it's difficult. No doubt it's difficult. But then yes, by the mercy of Sri Guru Gauranga, this will manifest one day for sure. No doubt about that. No doubt. So this faith no, has to be there. This faith has to be imbibed. This faith has to be inculcated by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and by the mercy of Sri Guru and Gauranga. And this faith, Amrita is clearly shown. What confidence. What confidence. Na chachala padam ripa. Not even one step this personality took behind when the fiery demon was coming. Sudarshan Chakra comes there with great speed. And Sudarshan Chakra burns the fiery demon. This is the line that Shukadeva Goswami is using. Burning the fiery demon. I don't know how that happens, but you know, it happened. Burning the fiery demon. Now, after all this happened, there was someone observing. And the Sudarshan Chakra was so angry, because his own devotee, his loving devotee, was targeted. So the Sudarshan Chakra was so angry, the Sudarshan Chakra started moving behind Durvasa. And Durvasa all around the entire creation. It is described, he went to Mount Sumeru, he went inside the ocean, he went to different planets, he went there, he went here, he went to Brahma Loka. And telling the four-headed Brahma that, please save me. Oh, please save me, this Sudarshan will kill me. And Brahma is saying, Are Baba, I cannot do anything. I cannot think of any idea from all my friends. I cannot do anything. So I don't think I'll be able to help you. You know, please go and approach someone else. Durvasa goes to Lord Shiva. And when Durvasa goes to Shiva, Lord Shiva, you know, he's saying that, you know, we all are controlled. All the Devi Devtas. There's a list of Devi Devtas that Lord mentions. And he says, all of us are controlled by the Supreme Personality of God, Narayan. I cannot do anything. I cannot do anything. Only person who can save you, the only personality who can save you is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. Go there. Now, Durvasa, after losing all the hopes from all these personalities, finally goes to Lord Narayan. Now, look at this wonderful situation. This great personality, after offending a devotee, he goes to the master of the devotee, that is Lord Narayan. And then he's going and praying. Those prayers are very beautiful. If you get time, please go through that. Very, very deep prayers. Now he's praying that, you can do anything. You can make impossible things possible. You can deliver the most sinful person just by manifesting your holy name in that sinful person's heart. Oh Lord, you can do anything. Please save me. And at that time, Lord Narayan, he speaks some wonderful shlokas. Very, very touching. Very, very touching. And one of my favorite is the first shloka that Lord Narayan, he chants, he quotes. Very beautiful shloka. He says, Aham bhakta paradhino yasvatantra eva dvija adubir grastarudayo bhakter bhakta janapriya. Look at this shloka. Let's analyze the shloka. Very, very wonderful shloka this is. Aham bhakta paradhino. So Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is saying that I'm lower than my devotees. This is the reciprocation what the Supreme Personality of Godhead has with his pure devotees. He takes a lower position. Very soon, we'll be celebrating the Damodar month or Kartik month. It's a favorite month of everyone. And what is the celebration all about? The celebration is all about how the Supreme Personality of Godhead was tied by Mother Yashoda, a devotee, a simple cowherd lady, to a wooden grinding motor. This is the celebration. And we devotees relish singing. Namamishwaram Sachetananda Rupam. Full month, we are just singing only one thing, that you are tied by your devotee, you are tied by your devotee, and we devotees relish not that particular pastime. Look at which personality is tied. Kapil Dev, when he's in the Devahuti, he's talking about the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he's telling Devahuti, he's telling Madbhayati Vatoyam Surya Tapati Madbhayat Varshatindro Dahad Agnir Mrityus Charati Madbhayat. So he's saying that Madbhayati Vatoyam, that is the wind's blowing. Why? Because of my fear. Out of my fear, the wind is blowing. And then he says, Surya Tapati Madbhayat. The sun is radiating heat out of my fear. And then he says that Indra is showering rains out of my fear. And Mrityus Charati Madbhayat. The death is taking place. Yamaraj is doing his job out of my fear. And this personality, the one who is fearful to every other personality in this world, and out of whose fear every other personality is working, that personality is getting fearful by looking at the stick in the hands of a cowherd lady, a simple cowherd lady, who is chastising the Supreme Personality of God. In fact, it is described that Krishna started crying. And obviously the pastime, is very deep, the Damodila pastime. Maybe, we can hear that in the Kartik mass, we can relish that. In fact, Krishna Leela is very, very, very clear, and it very clearly describes in different wonderful words and wonderful pastimes that how Aham Bhakta Paradino is so valid. Another example I would like to give is the gopis, the elderly gopis, when Krishna was pretty young. So the elderly gopis would play with Krishna. The elderly gopis would ask, Makhan chahiye, do you want butter? And Krishna would say, I want it. And at that time, the gopi, she would say, okay, I'm ready to give you this, but you have to dance in front of me. And you know what Krishna would do? Krishna would start dancing there without any music. He would start dancing in front of that gopi for what? For butter. And we very well know Brahma is glorifying Krishna, and Brahma Samhita, Ishwara Parama Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karana Mare Baba, butter also belongs to him. But still this personality, he's taking a lower position than his devotees, and he's behaving like this. In fact, it is described there is no other pastime where Krishna has danced so much, and no other Leela, no other avatar where he has ate so many milk products. This is that only avatar, this only wonderful form of the Lord, now where he does this. To the Dwarka pastime, when Sudama arrived in the palace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what did Krishna do? Krishna made him sit on his throne, and Krishna started washing the feet of Sudama with what? With his own tears. And who is the Sudama? He is just a beggar. No, he's a pauper. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, getting attracted by the devotion of Sudama, is reciprocating like not so amazingly. Aham bhakta paradino, very clear this is. Aham bhakta paradino. Krishna is taking a position lower than all his devotees, all his pure devotees. And that's what Lord Narayan is saying to Durvasa. Aham bhakta paradino. Hey, Durvasa, I cannot do anything. Aham bhakta paradino. I am lower than my devotees. I am lower than Ambarish. Ya swatantra eva dvija. I don't have any independence. Who is saying this? The personality who is described in the first loka of Bhagavatam as Swarat. Janmadhyasya taunmayaditaratas chartesva bhignaswarat. That's Swarat. Independent personality. He's an independent person. He's an independent personality. But he's saying, there is no Swatantra. I don't have any independence. And I suppose Durvasa Muni is asking, why? You're independent. Why are you asking? Why are you saying like this? Then he adds the next line. He says, Sadhubir grasta rudayo. Sadhus, these souls, these great pure devotees, they have captured my heart, O Durvasa. They have captured my heart. There's one great saint. His name is Bilvamangal Thakur. So he wrote a very, very wonderful scripture called Krishna Karanamrita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would relish hearing Krishna Karanamrita and Gambhira from the mouth of Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai. And he would get into ecstasy. So this personality, Bilvamangal Thakur, I'm sure you might have heard about this personality. He plugged out his own eyes due to some reason, and he was blind. He was staying near Brahmakund in Vrindavan, and he was doing his bhakti, unflinching devotional service. And he was completely dependent on Krishna, completely dependent on Krishna. So this personality, he was not able to do anything by his own. So every single day, there would come a gopa. A very young gopa, a gopal. That gopal would come, and this gopa would help Bilvamangal Thakur to go from one place to another. He would get prasad for Bilvamangal Thakur. He would take him to do various things, and so on and so forth. Every single day this would happen. One day, since Bilvamangal Thakur is a pure devotee, one day Bilvamangal Thakur, in his intense meditation, the trance, he realized that this gopa was none other than Yashomati Nandana, that is Sri Krishna himself. And when he realized that, Bilvamangal Thakur, he held the hand of Krishna. And when he held the hand of Krishna, who can catch Krishna? When he held the hand of Krishna, somehow he released the hand and he ran away from that place. Krishna ran away from that place. And now look at the confidence of Bilvamangal Thakur. With complete confidence, Bilvamangal Thakur says this. This comes in Krishna Karanamrita. So he says this very wonderful shloka, very touching. And here we also see the mood of a devotee and the mood of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bilvamangal Thakur is saying, Hastam makshepe atosmi balat Krishna kim adbhutam radaya yadi niryasi paurusham ganayamite. So here Bilvamangal Thakur is challenging Krishna. He's telling him, oh Krishna, what are you trying to prove by releasing your hand and running away from me? Hastam akshepya, by releasing your hand from my hand, hastam akshepya yasmi balat Krishna kim adbhutam. What is so great about this? And now Bilvamangal Thakur is challenging Krishna. And you know what he says? Ridayad yadi niryasi paurusham ganayamite. I will admire your strength. I'll glorify your strength. I will accept you're very strong. If Look at the statements of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. If you can escape from my heart, Hridayat yadi niryasi. If you're escaping from my heart, then I'll accept that you're very strong. You're very strong. This is what Lord Narayan is telling Durvasa. Sadhubir grastar hridayo. These sadhus have actually now they captured me, you know, in their heart. I said Bilwa Mangal Thakur. So you know, I want to recite some shlokas from Chaurashtakam. Now Purushottam Mass is coming. I guess it starts on 19th of September, a very, very glorious month. In fact, it is described that many Kartik months put together is one Purushottam month. Very, very glorious. So every single activity in Purushottam month, I mean devotional activities, they yield a lot of benefits, lots and lots of spiritual benefits. So in this particular month, we chant this Chaurashtakam. Very beautiful. The first loka goes like this, the first stanza. Braje prasidam navanita chauram gopanganam cha dukula chauram aneka janma jita papa chauram chauragra ganyam purusham namami. Now in Kartik Mass, we celebrate Mother Yashoda tying Krishna to the wooden grinding mortar, and the month, the Purushottam month, we celebrate the various pastimes of Krishna, where he's proved to be the greatest of the greatest thief. And here, Bilwa Mangal Thakur is saying that Chauragra Ganyam Purusham Namami, I pay my repeated obeisances to the greatest thief ever. He goes on, you know, chanting various glories of Krishna, where he says, Vraje Prasidam Navanita Chauram. In Vrindavan, you steal butter. Gopan gananam pula chauram. You steal away all the grief, the sadness of all the gopas and gopis. Aneka janmarjita papa chauram. For your devotees, you steal away the cycle of birth and death and you give them liberation. For such a great personality, you has even stolen the heart of Srimati Radharani. I pay my obeisances again and again. And the last sloka of this particular song, Bilwa Mangal Thakur, again he challenges Krishna. Again he challenges Krishna. And here the challenge is this. So he's telling Krishna, Karagrahe vasasadardaye madhiye madbhakti pashadrida bandhana nishalasan tvam Krishna he pralakoti shatantarepi sarvasya chaura Hridaya nahi mochayami. So here again, Bilwa Mangal Thakur is challenging Krishna. He's saying, I've captured you, Krishna. And Krishna is asking, why? What did I do? Sarvasya chaura. You have stolen everything. You have stolen everything that belonged to me. And then Krishna is asking this question. Okay, so what are you planning to do now? So Bilwa Mangal Thakur is saying, Karagrahe vasasada hridaye madhiye. I will keep you in my heart, which is like a jail. And Krishna is, you know, Krishna is like with the mood. I took birth in jail. I took birth in jail. What's so great to escape from the jail? I'll escape easily. So Bilwa Mangal Thakur, there he's saying, Mad Bhakti Pasha Dhrida Bandhana Nishchalasan. I'm going to tie you with the Bhakti Pasha. I'm going to tie you with the ropes of my devotion. And you cannot escape now. And now Krishna is obliged and he's asking, Are bhai, for how long are you going to keep me in this karagraha? He's saying, Pralaya koti shatantarepi. For millions and millions of eons, for unlimited time. This is called as sadhubir grastaradayo. This is what Lord Narayan is talking about. And then finally he says that bhaktair bhakta priya janaha. Not just my devotees are very dear to me, but even the devotees of my devotees are very dear to me. So when Lord Narayan spoke all these things, so at that time, Durvasa understood, this person will also not do anything to me. He's not going to help me. So Narayan gives a solution. Go to Ambarish. He will forgive you. He'll take care of you. And as all of us know, Durvasa Muni goes and he falls to Ambarish Maharaj. And then Ambarish Maharaj, being such a great Vaishnav, who was fasting for one complete year, waiting for Durvasa. He forgives Durvasa Muni. He feeds Durvasa Muni with nice, sumptuous, palatable dishes. And when Durvasa Muni leaves from that place, then Ambarish Maharaj honors him. this entire pastime, if you see, it's a reciprocate. It's just a example, or in fact, an epitome of the reciprocation between the devotee and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We all are so fortunate. We all are so fortunate. We all have got the shelter of this great personality, Srila Prabhupada. If you see Srila Prabhupada and compare with Ambarish Maharaj's personality, you'll find so many similarities. Srila Prabhupada didn't move even a single step when there were so many calamities in his life, and he came to West, to establish this wonderful organization, ISKCON, of whose we all have taken shelter of. And Prabhupada had complete faith in Krishna, complete faith. He was straightforward in all his classes. Never ever he hid anything from anyone. He was very straightforward because he had complete faith that Krishna will protect. This is one of the signs of surrender. And we are all fortunate because we are followers of Srila Prabhupada. We are all followers of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada has this one desire for all of us, one instruction for all of us, which he repeats in all his classes, in most of his classes. Go back home, back to Godhead this very lifetime. He's very clear about this. And this is what is the goal of life. The goal of life is to attain Krishna this very lifetime. Who would not want to have such reciprocations like the Vrajavasis have, with Krishna? Who would not want to have such reciprocations? When someone attains Krishna, that is a state, that is the reciprocation that someone gets. And in fact, I was sharing this in the recent class, that if we attain Krishna in our life, if we attain Krishna in this very lifetime, what will happen? Prabhupada and all the acharyas would come there and they would party, saying, yes, this personality is from my parampara. Prabhupada would be so happy. Prabhupada would say, this person belongs to my God. He's from my place. Just imagine when Prabhupada is not telling Krishna that he's from my place, how much happy Prabhupada would be. This is what is goal of life. Now, two things. One, we have to attain Krishna this very lifetime. Now, having that complete faith, what Ambarish Maharaj had, having that complete faith that, every single pure devotee, captures the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the heart. And the second thing is our entire existence, we have to burn only for giving pleasure to the acharyas. There is no other goal apart from this. There is no other goal. Right. So with this, it's already sixth year, and I'm sure there it's 9 o'clock. I would like to pause here, and maybe I can take one or two questions if you have. No, pastime is really huge. I somehow got shorted the pastime. Yes, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna devotees, you can unmute yourself, or you can write on the chat box if anybody would like to say a comment or a question. Prabhu, if nobody's going, I have one question. Thank you for the nice lecture. I did have one question. This pastime is very similar. It kept reminding me of Ambarish Maharaj's faith when you were mentioning that the king did not take one step back. It reminded me of Prahlad when he was falling off from that cliff, and he was he didn't have any doubt. Some people say, why did Vishnu not catch him on the top of the cliff? Why did he wait all the way to the bottom? It's to give glory to Prahlad. So I was just my basic question is that these devotees, Ambarish Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, and even Srila Prabhupada, to take such a big step for Krishna it's very illogical in some sense, in that it doesn't have very much logic. 70-year-old man going to the West without anything, and then Prahlad, little boy, thinks Vishnu will come and save him at the bottom of the cliff, or Ambarish Maharaj that nothing will happen to him. So if because you're saying that as academics, sometimes our logic sometimes fails us but to understand Krishna. So could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he describes this wonderful aspects of the eight stages of bhakti in Madhurya Kadambini. So there, you know, he's talking about the different stages of bhakti, starting from adoshraddha to prema. So when it comes to us, now we all are there, you know, at the stage of shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, and max anartha nivritti. So in this, you know, it's described that when we are there in these stages, our shraddha is komal shraddha. Our shraddha is very, very sensitive. Our shraddha is delicate. So when our shraddha is delicate, you know, we cannot take such great step in our life. You know, we are struggling. You know, we are struggling with our own conditioning. We all are struggling with our own conditioning. Now for us, it becomes difficult if we close our eyes. No, we just remember our past samskaras, but not Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Now, is it easy to close eyes and just think about Sri Sri Radha Natavara? No, very, very difficult, isn't it? No, very difficult to meditate on the beautiful form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because, you know, we are there in Anartha Nivritti stage and below, right? The time when someone overcomes the stage of Anartha Nivritti, goes to Nishthar, you know, then Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, Prema. So there, the faith becomes very, very strong. The faith becomes very, very strong. And when someone has got such a strong faith and such great dependence on Krishna, that person is ready to do anything for Krishna. Now, for example, one of my other favorite personalities, Madhavendra Puri. So Madhavendra Puri, being a sannyasi, he's supposed to go and beg at different places. But then Madhavendra Puri, you know, had so much of faith and confidence on Krishna that he would just sit at one place. He would tell Krishna, if you want to provide, you provide. I'm going to sit here. Look at the confidence. Now look at the confidence. Sometimes people ask, devotees ask this question that, Prabhu, many times people say that even if we sit at one place, Krishna will provide. But then it's very difficult for me to believe. Now, can you please elaborate? Yes, it's difficult for all of us to believe because, you know, we have not come to that stage. We have not come to that stage. But then the ones who have crossed that stage, ones who have reached the stage of prema, they are ready to do anything. They're ready to do anything for Krishna. And one such personality is Srila Prabhupada. So yes, our logic will not work because we are at, you know, we are there in the stage of anartha nivritti and below. But surely, you know, when our bhajana kriya as vaidhi sadhakas, you know, when we are strong in our sadhana today, when we are endeavoring to attain Krishna this very lifetime with complete faith and devotion in the instructions of our spiritual master, surely they will come when our spiritual master will pick us up from the stage of anartha nivritti and place us at the stage of prema. And yes, on that day, we can, then everything that is illogical will become logical. You know, we'll be able to have complete faith and we'll be able to understand them. And all these secrets of Bhagavatam will start unfolding, you know, for sure. So this is my, you know, humble attempt to answer your question, Prabhu.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, Kartikeya Prabhu. This is Naveen Krishna. Hare Krishna. So you don't know me, but I know you. Because my cousin sister called Nirupa. She attends programs with you, your area, when especially as comes.
Oh, okay. Her name, Prabhu, can you repeat?
Nirupa.
What is her name?
Nirupa. Nandini. She goes with a book name is Nandini, but we call her Nirupa. And right now she's at my home place. And then you were telling her you were giving class in Kurma, she knows you. When Amarendra Prabhu comes, I mean, actually, through us, she contact with the devotees there, and then she attends. She's very shy. I just want to let you know she was inspired by you and then the devotees there. And then thank you for your wonderful service.
Sure, Prabhu. We'll try to serve our best. You know, we'll try our best to serve her. Yes. So there's one question from Ruchira Mataji. How to observe Purushottam month? So in Purushottam month, many, many things are given in Padma Puran, Skanda Puran. There is one video which I had recorded maybe some 4 years back. That video is titled as a short, the biggest shortcut or something. Maybe I can forward it to Hari Prabhu and he can, you know, post it across. So there I mentioned about, various things that we can do in Purushottam Mass. In fact, it is described very clearly that anyone who chants the holy name of the Lord, anyone who circumambulates the temple, anyone who visits the holy Dham, in fact, now many, many people, obviously, now it's a COVID situation, so maybe this year it might be difficult. But in the past years, we have seen the devotees, you know, take 1 month off and they're there, you know, in Vrindavan or in Mayapur. You know, they're there completely just practicing devotional service there. So like that, in Purushottam Mass, you know, we follow these things. And also it is described in Padma Puran that anyone who offers one tulasi to Krishna with love and devotion in this month of Purushottam, Krishna, you know, even in Kartik for that matter, Krishna is ready to give entire abode of Vaikuntha in exchange to that one tulasi, to that one tulasi. So all the activities that we do in Purushottam, all the activities that we do daily, you know, that is pray by Prabhupada, same thing we have to continue in Purushottam with more intensity. In fact, you know, Prabhupada, you know, is very, very clever. He's a mastermind. Now, he knows very well that maybe people will not understand what is Kartik, what is Purushottam. So he gave us a schedule, the morning program schedule. Get up in the morning, Brahma Murta, do Mangal Arati, chant your 16 rounds, water teaser, Campbell 8 Tulasi, read Bhagavatam. All these activities, if you just do in Purushottam, I think that's more than enough. And obviously, lighting a ghee lamp and reciting this Chaurashtakam. And becoming more intense in the pastimes of Krishna, especially the Brajalila pastimes of Krishna, and chanting various shlokas like Brahma Samhita. And you know, there are devotees who chant Purusha Sukta also, and so many other Vaishnava bhajans, you know, we can chant in this particular month. So I would say that you know, we have to continue the same thing with more intensity, maybe more rounds in the entire month, maybe attending Mangal Arati and taking darshan of Sri Sri Radha Natabara every single day, early in the morning. Yes, we can do that. So maybe all these things, you know, that we can do in Purushottam Mass. Yes. So hope that helps you. Anything else?
Yeah, is there any other questions? I don't see any on YouTube. If anybody would like to unmute themselves, this is a good opportunity.
There is normally questions. I just have a comment, Prabhu. So initially starting with the class, mentioned about austerity. Recently I was reading Chaitanya Bhagavat and I'm reflecting on this one. Where Krishna has vibhutis, six offerings. One is renunciation. So mostly devotees are talks about extra the file. Renunciation is embedded there, but not much. So when the sadhaka stays for the people devotees practicing, renunciation is an austerity, but Krishna is in an opulence.
Yes.
So even if a person does austerity, sometimes heart can be hard-hearted, and then on top of that, is nothing to renounce anyway. The person who has everything, he's not Krishna. Renunciation is an opulence. Who doesn't have anything, we think we renounce him. That's that became an austerity, and austerity also can take us away from Krishna in essence. So that's the one who strikes the balance between, because it's the name, fame, strength, and wealth, these are all devotees of Krishna. But most of the people are attracted to them and attraction to Krishna. But once finally people come to a conclusion that we want to renounce and attack Krishna, at the same time, there is another. Same renunciation also can become a stumbling block. The essence of that is people doesn't understand, then naturally also helps. And that beauty of renunciation has all of the name, strength, all other things comes automatically because now we have Krishna. Before that we have opulences. But when you go to Krishna in terms of renunciation, but all other follows that. So initially when you're talking about, that's the point indirectly, Ambarish Maharaj is talking about renunciation. Part of renunciation, not renunciation. That was a wonderful point. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's a wonderful point, Naveen Krishna Prabhu. Thank you very much for sharing. Thank you very much.